Brother Larry distracted me. He said he liked my tie. I told him I'd rent it out to him. We're about the same size. I won't wear it much. That's being negotiable, ain't it, Brother Donnie? Easy to get along with. Good to be in his house. Thank God for the opportunity to share with you. And it is the end of the 17, and it's a good time to look back and commit some things that God would move on your heart to commit. And you know, the Proverbs talked about that in 16:3, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So if you commit it to God, then it's in safe hands, amen? Now if you commit it to somebody, you know, you say, hey, I got $1,000, I want you to hold it for me, that may not be safe. But if you commit it to the Lord, then it'll be all right. You got your Bible, look with us into Matthew, the 14th chapter. We'll skirt around a little bit and go where the wind blows. We won't try to stay too focused on some designed message. They never work out for me too good. I always forget where I'm supposed to go and get them out of order. I can't do that stuff. Just have to preach, don't share. Get in God's Word. You know, it's the worst thing we can do is make people think we got it all figured out. Because that's going to discourage them. And they say, well, I couldn't ever be like Brother Ike because he's got it all figured out. We don't want to do that. And so we want to be real and want to be transparent. And you don't have to know everything to love the Lord and serve him, do you? You just have to know him. And we're going to read about some people that understood that great truth, and maybe God will encourage our hearts, and maybe we'll find something that we want to put on our table, our personal spiritual table. Not your neighbor's table. Leave their table alone. Let them deal with their table. It's funny. You see people in the Christian way that always know what everybody else needs to do, don't they? They don't ever know what they need to do, but they know what the fellow over there knows, what he needs. And that's not what God wants. It's a personal salvation, and we've got a full schedule just keeping us between the ditches, don't we? And so Matthew 14, we're going to read about a couple people here. We'll look into the 15th chapter in just a moment. But look with me and see. I'm going to find a good starting point because I'm going to be reading things that really is not pertinent to what we're doing. But look at this in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou." I want to stop right there just a moment. You know, how many voices do we ever hear? I understand people do hear voices. And we get sometimes stability is not always there in certain people's lives. They're hearing things. You know, they go on some mass murder spree and they say, "Well, I heard a voice tell me to do it." Well, it wasn't the Lord, was it? And so we know that demons speak too, and it's okay to try the spirit. But Peter had just left Jesus. And so Jesus is coming to him, and they want to check the spirit and try the spirit, and that's all good. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And he said, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me come where you are. Now, I don't want to wait for you to get here. I want to go where you are if it's really you." Yeah. And see it now. He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Fear. How many times did God say it in his word? Fear not, fear not, fear not. That was Moses' main message. Fear not. And so Moses said, God said, "Go in and take the land." And they're like, "Oh no, we're not going to go." And so they balked. They stopped. They threw out an anchor. And therefore, they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. I just read this a
few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. And so for 40 years, they stayed stuck in the wilderness, eating the manna, and the manna was good. But God didn't intend on them to eat it 40 years. He doesn't intend on us to stay in the same spiritual place for 40 years. It's not His will. And so His will was Canaan. They got stuck in the wilderness. And so we find it, this is where believing God comes into play. And so the word said, Peter was come down and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Fear, there's fear again. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I'm going to talk about two things here in the scripture. We're going to look at the 15th chapter. Two things that God wants us to get our heart wrapped around. The simple quotes of Peter, and we're going to read another one in just a moment, but watch what he said, Lord, save me. You know, for theologians, that may not be enough. And for super spiritual people, you know, there's church people that spiritually they're on crack. You know, they just bouncing around and, you know, the thing swinging from the chandelier, it ain't a good day. And so for those kind of people, this won't satisfy them, will it? But here, Peter cried out, Lord, save me. That's still a mighty good prayer, ain't it? Lord, understanding who Christ is, save, that's deliverance, that always means deliverance, deliver me. And so it ought to be in the simplest times, and it ought to be such an ingrained part of our day that we, you know, we're here, we find ourselves in somewhere we don't expect to be, and we say, Lord, save me, help me. And so this is what Peter cried out. And so theologically, it was not a super hyped up prayer, was it? But it's an effective prayer. And it's a prayer that changes things. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Where's he going? He's going down. The word said he began to sink. And so how many of you remember when you was learning how to swim? And so they'd put you in the pool or the pond or the creek, whatever it was. First place you go is down. And you look it up. And you know, they think it's funny. They're laughing, but you wasn't laughing, was you? I wasn't laughing. What are they doing? And so he's beginning to sink. And so he's going down. He's looking up. God give us grace to look up. When things start going down, church, we got to look up. Not around us. We're not trying to get the poll of public opinion. We're not trying to find out what, you know, the know-it-all in the family would do. We want to know what Christ would say. And Peter, he didn't have time to take a poll of those that's still on the boat and have a vote. Didn't have time for a vote. He had to react. And his reaction was, Lord, save me. And so immediately, Christ saved him. And the word said this. Jesus stretched forth his hand. How long did it take him? Immediately. You know, we see this. We're going to watch it again in just a moment. And the word said, they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Jesus is an on-time God. Look in the 15th chapter. See this. Set the stage. Because in the daily walk, we don't always feel adequate, do we? You know, we don't always have our, you know, sometimes we're in too big a hurry. That happens. We don't stop. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It's getting to be a lot of eagles in our country now. And so especially around the fish ponds, we see them a good bit. We come around, we was in the Pea River, and we was running and come around a bend, and you know, your eyes will fool you sometimes. Well, there was an eagle there on the sandbar right there on Highway 52 in the town where I live, and we're running around, and there was an eagle on the sandbar, and he's huge. Really big birds, aren't they? But God said they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Yeah. Who's that? They that wait upon the Lord. If we get ahead of God, that's not waiting. If we're dragging behind, that's, you know, we don't want to get in too big a hurry. I seen that a while ago. I come through Westville, and there was a fire truck pulling out. He had bells and whistles going. Something burning. And a little fellow on a Grand Marquis cut him off. And I thought, boy, you're in a pretty big hurry when you cut off a fire truck, ain't you? And so I stayed behind him. He finally pulled over and let the fire truck go. And he was just going to the Dollar General down at Carroll. You know, I reckon he wanted to see, he needed to see the Dollar General, I reckon. And so he cut the fire truck off. We don't want to cut off the things God's got for us. We don't want to be ahead of him. We don't want to lag behind. We want to be with him. And see this in chapter 15. Watch now. There's a woman that has a need. And the word said, Jesus went thence, verse 21, departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That's where heathens are, spiritually speaking, not Jewish people. And so the word said, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And I'm amazed by something right here. Number one, I'm amazed that she diagnosed her daughter properly. So many times people say, well, they have a personality situation. And, you know, and they just had a poor childhood. And all of these things. And probably 95% of what's wrong with a lot of youngins, they just never got the drawers dusted enough, did they? And so they don't have psychological problems. They just have problems where they didn't get the tail tore up. And they just rotten as can be. And that's really what happened. They didn't get discipline. You could fix all that. They had a cure for that back when I was coming up. And so, you know, it was just things that were absolute. If you did X, then you got Y every time. And it wasn't no doubt, was it coming? It was coming. And the worst ones was when they said, go in there and lay down and wait on me. I ain't like the waiting, did you? Me and my little sister, if it was all of us involved, you know, she'd start screaming before anything ever happened. And it just made it worse and amplified it all. But we avoided a lot of problems when there was discipline in the home and in the children's lives. And people think, well, I want to be good to my kids and I don't want to discipline them. Well, you're just putting them behind the eight ball, spiritually speaking. And so here, this woman had a daughter and she's vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. The disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, she acknowledged that he's not just the son of David, but that he's Lord. You know, May 3rd of 87, I surrendered to Christ, and, you know, probably didn't much change immediately that night. People say, well, you know, if you get saved, drastic things happen. Well, drastic things do happen in believers' life, but they're not all at once, are they? No. I mean, it's going to, just some things God's going to do over time. God's going to deal with it. If you had a baby, he didn't run a 40-yard sprint the next morning, did he? Now he's going to lay there and sleep a lot and cry a lot. And he's going to, you know, drink milk a lot and burp a lot and do other things a lot. And when we expect the new believer is supposed to have it all figured out tomorrow, but that's not so. And so Jesus dealt with her. And first he says, you're the son of David. But now she's realized, maybe I ought to get a little more intimate relationship with the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus. Now, we know folks that preach Jesus as, you know, a nice fellow to get along with. And if you knew him, you might be better off. No, that's not the one Christ preached and Paul preached and Peter preached. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she acknowledged him as Lord, business began to pick up. She worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, that's where he would have lost a lot of people today, but it'd have been an insult. But folks that's got a need, and they know who the Lord is, you know what they'll do? They will press through the little trifle things that offend, won't they? They'll look past that. Why? Because the need's bigger. And so they understand the need. And so Jesus said, it ain't meat to take children's bread. It's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And so this woman just heard Jesus call her a dog, but she don't care. Why? Because she's got a need. You know, we won't get so offended when we understand what we really need. And so we'll say, oh me, and amen. And she said, truth. Truth, Lord. Tell you, it's powerful words. What does your salvation experience sound like? It could have been a repeat after me prayer. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with repeating after me. It's what's in the heart, whether the repeat after me got anything done or not. It's between you and the Lord. It may not be any verbal prayer at all. It may be the one that just come in and smote his breast, Brother Raymond, and said, Lord, be merciful to me, etc. It could be so inaudible, only Christ could hear. But she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall, get this, not from any table, from the master's table. She said, I just need a crumb. You ever feel like you just need one crumb? I said, preacher, I've never been that needy. Well, when you get there, you'll know it. When you just need a crumb, you brought it to God in prayer, you brought it in prayer, you brought it in prayer. And if you've never needed anything like that, I don't know, you're missing out. Sometimes, thank God, we just need a crumb. And so here, she understood the only one could help her demon-possessed daughter was the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's not leaving there with her little feelings on her little shoulders. She's got to have Christ. It's what desperate people do. They realize they have to have Christ. That's when people get saved. Because they got nothing to bargain with. Got nothing to hang on to. Their pride, they left it at the house because they're done with that. Didn't get them anywhere. And so what will pride do? It leads to destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And she had jumped all of that because now she needs him and him alone. And she said, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs. Dogs get the crumbs. If I could just get a crumb, bless God, you could heal my daughter. And the word said, Jesus answered and said, oh, woman. God give us this, church. Great is thy faith. A heathen woman knew very little about the Jewish faith. She didn't need to know it. She needed to know him that she's dealing with. And Jesus said, great is thy faith. Great faith. You know, the unbeliever today may have faith. Faith imparted. You know how sinners get saved? God imparts saving faith. You know how this woman believed? God imparted saving faith. Without saving faith, we cannot be saved. Without saving faith, we cannot believe God. Without saving faith, we'll be swallowed up in our pride. Without saving faith, we will die a sinner's death. And leave this world lost. And we can have degrees and education, and that's all fine. We could use some of that. I could probably use a lot more. But it ain't going to get me to heaven. It's not to be confused with saving faith. And so we've got to have the important things first. And she understood the only way her daughter was going to get help was that she believed God. And she believed it. And he said, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, watch now, even as thou wilt. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. Why? Because everyone that asketh receiveth. How many? I didn't write it. Preacher quoted it too. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and to him that knocketh, what'll happen? What'd he say? Shall be opened. It's in the book. It's in the book. And so this woman understood. She understood. Bless God. Somewhere along the way, she understood, if I can believe God, great things can happen. We're going to read about another fellow like that in just a moment. But I want you to get this. In these two instances we read right here, you know what it was? It was a simplicity of having a need and bringing it to Christ. And you know what God does by the Holy Ghost? He reveals our need to be saved. No such thing as God not dealing with a sinner. God never built, God never created a man, woman, boy, or girl. He never destined them to go to hell. Not so. Not willing, Peter said, that any should perish, but that how many? All should come to repentance. God's design for men and women is not to go to hell, it's to be saved. And so we know this by the Word of God. So God deals with and calls every person, man, woman, boy, or girl, doesn't he? Yes, he calls them unto himself. We have to heed the call. Watch this. Jehoshaphat figured this out. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Last text we'll look at, Lord willing. But see this, because here is a great king. You know, we read about the little heathen woman. We read about Peter. And now we're going to read about a great king. Jehoshaphat was a wonderful king. He was a godly king. But some things got out of line in his life. And God sent a prophet by there to deal with him. I don't know about you, but even in the unpleasant times, when God sends somebody by our way to deal with us, we ought to be thankful for that, hadn't we? Give thanks for all things. In everything, give thanks. So when somebody comes by and reproves us or deals with us or shows us something in the Word, we ought to be thankful for that. Because God does that for our admonition and for our spiritual growth and personal growth and all these things. And so Jehoshaphat was king. You know, and I think that something we ought to understand is one of the great attributes of a believer is not how long you can audibly pray or how many years it's been since you missed a service. All that stuff is really unimportant. The big thing is can you hear God? Can you hear reproof? Can you walk with Him, talk with Him, share with Him? And when God sends something by, do you realize the goodness of God towards you? Now, it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance, Romans 2 said. Remember that? So if you ever feel inclined to get right with God, that's the goodness of God. And here, the goodness of God came toward Jehoshaphat, and we have to realize that God is interested in our spiritual growth, isn't He? If we want 2018 to be a better year than 2017, then we ought to be a little more sensitive, turn up our sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. And hear what he's saying and go where he sends. And that's what Jehu was doing. And Jehu was a fireball for the gospel. And so here he is. Of course, the gospel, I say that facetiously, but the gospel hadn't been written. But well, you get the point. He is in love with the Lord. And God sends him by to see a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. Now that in itself entailed a lot of risk because the king could take the head off your shoulders and never raise a finger. There was men to his left and right. All he probably had to do was wink at. And you was a dead man. Oh yeah, remember one of David's best friends by the name of Joab. Joab did all these things against David. And David didn't do anything to him, but Solomon come along. And then Joab is on the wrong side of the law. And the law was Solomon. And remember, this is the whole phrase of hanging on to the horns of the altar. He told Benaiah, he said, go in and take Joab's head off. And Joab run into where the altar was, into the inner court or the outer court. And he's hanging on to the horns of the altar. And he come back and he said, well, he won't turn loose of the horns of the altar. You know, he's right there at the holy place and he won't turn loose. And Solomon said, well, just kill him where he's at. And so Joab lost his life hanging on to the horns, literal horns, of the altar. And so kings had this ability to take life with never speaking a word. Jehu comes And he deals with Jehoshaphat, as God's commanded him. And he rebuked him in the 19th chapter. We're not going to take time to read that. You can read it later. But he rebuked him because he said, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" That was the question. And so here we find it. If you read this text later, you're going to find out that Jehoshaphat, he heard reproof. His heart was not too full of pride that he couldn't hear reproof. You know, if God sends something or somebody our way and it reproves us, that's a good thing. Because there are people today that God does not deal with anymore. That's a dangerous place to be, Brother Larry. Where God doesn't speak, God doesn't call. I remember that being a fear, and I don't know who planted that seed. I was saved when I was 19. God dealt with me when I was 17. But I did wonder sometimes, where I heard this, I'll never know. But I'm sure the preacher there where I was attending, I've wondered, what if God don't call me anymore? What if God don't call? Then you can't come. You know, I met a young lady a little while back, a few weeks back, and I told her it was her dad. I was saved under his ministry, and I remember him so well. And I rehearsed this to you so much, I probably don't need to do it again. But I remember when God called, and I can still see her mama was singing, and the special music, and her dad was preaching, and a big pot-bellied preacher, but boy, he could plow and thunder the word of God. And just a young boy, I mean, does this ever happen to y'all where you literally quake on the inside? Yeah. The Spirit of God's calling. You wonder sometimes, does that ever happen anymore? I'm sure it does, don't you? God didn't stop with us. And he preached and he plowed. And the Holy Ghost was sitting there calling, calling, calling. And I told her, I said, I got saved under your dad's ministry. And I said, your mama was singing. I still remember the song she was singing 30 years ago. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. But watch this. Jehoshaphat's had an experience in his life. He's been reproved and he heard it. And the word said, verse 3, chapter 20, verse 3. You look in there, 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Isn't that a great feast to have? What y'all doing down in Bonifay? Well, we're just going to have a big cookout and ask help of the Lord. Yeah, well, Garrett's got the Boston butts going. Yeah, all we're doing is we're going to ask help of the Lord. Brother Ricky had it wrong. Garrett, we carved out time for his singing at the end of the message. I'm going to cut it short where he can get that song in. Been practicing all week, he told me. And so, watch it now. He feared and set himself together to ask help of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of the house of the Lord of the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? We need this kind of relationship, church, where we talk to the Lord as a man speaketh to his friend. You know what God wants? It's the kind Abraham had, Moses had. What was special about them? They just believed him. I was talking to a lady this week. And we were sharing, she's got some things, physical things going on in her life. And now it's come to a point where she feels so much anxiety, she can't drive. She's afraid to drive, just really just shuts down and stops. In the middle of the four lane or wherever she is, or the country roads. And it's a very dangerous situation. And we was talking about it, and it was one day I was working, and we was just sharing. I said, I pastored this lady for quite a while. I said, sis, we need to pray and ask God to take it away. We don't know what's wrong, but he does. We didn't make these bodies, but he did. And so let's ask him. So I really felt impressed, pray on the spot. And we don't always feel like that, but we did then. And we asked God to help. And whatever's wrong, make it right. And whatever it takes, take it away. Just simple things like asking help of the Lord. And so we prayed. The Spirit of God was moving around. It was real. It was really nice. And she told me last night, she said, you know what happened? This never come to her thought process, but she says some things had went on with her medicine. She has MS. Some things had went on with her medicine, and she said, you know, I just went back. It's like the Spirit of God told her just to go back to the way it was. Doctors changed it, but maybe God wanted her to change it back. And so after prayer, she changed it back. And she told me last night, she said, I ain't had a problem driving anywhere I want to go. Never have a problem anymore. No anxiety. Isn't that what he said? Ask and it shall be given to you. And so Jehoshaphat's praying. And look, watch what he said. We're going to skim down here for the sake of time. Are not thou God in heaven? Verse number 6. Verse 7 he said, are not thou our God? And then in verse number 9, in the bottom of it, he said, then thou will hear and help. In verse number 12, he said, God, wilt not thou judge them? And in the bottom part of that verse, he said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Woo! God give us that prayer, church. I don't know what to do. I don't know who holds tomorrow. Thank God, but I know. I know who holds it. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds it. We don't know which way to go, but God said, and what did he say? He said this over in the book of Isaiah. He said, you'll hear a voice behind you telling thee, chapter 31, 21, to go thee to the left hand or go thee to the right. God said, I'll lead you. And the old songwriters wrote a song that says something about this. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. He leadeth me. 'Tis by God's hand he leadeth me. That's the kind of relationship we want. That's all we want. We want to be able to ask him and he hears us. We want to be able to call and he answers. Don't you hate it when you call somebody and they don't answer? Brother Ike called me the other day. I didn't answer. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate it when it happens to all of us? But don't you hate it when it happens? Well, what about when we call on God and we get no answer? Believe him. Watch now. Go down a little bit for the sake of time. Verse 17. They're going to battle and the Holy Ghost said, God said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. That's the hard part sometimes, ain't it? Standing still, waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Stand still, Jehoshaphat. And so he's telling the people, he's done heard from God, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. What'd that woman say? She said, Lord, my daughter hath a demon. And if thou can do anything, help us. She had to stand still, didn't she? And Peter's in the water. He ain't in the boat. He got out of the boat. He's in the water and he's walking to Jesus. And if I kept walking off this ledge, you know what I'd do? I'd sink. Well, I ain't going to do it. It might hurt my knee. But if when Peter started going down, he's sinking. And what happened? What happened? He said, Lord, save me. And you know what he had to do? He had to wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So watch now. Sometimes it's hard to stand still. They were going to battle, Lance. They were going to battle right here. And the word said they had to believe. Look at verse number 20. They rose up early in the morning and went in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And they're over there sharpening up their sword. They're like, he said stand still. I don't know how long I'm standing still. They come at me, I'm swinging. That's what you say, Woody Garrett. You get too close. God said, stand still, believe his prophets, and so all these things. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers. So ain't that great? We're going to bring a gospel group to a battle. What's Jehoshaphat smoking? What kind of meeting did he done got in the hippie hay Jehoshaphat has? What is going on with old Jehoshaphat boy? And we're going to stand still and wait. And so they appointed singers. And they're thinking, you know, those mighty men of war ain't thinking about singers, are they? They're like, we don't need singers. We need some fighters. We need some folks that gird up their loins. And so he put their guitars down and get the bow out. And so the word said that when he consulted, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what the enemy's thinking, don't you? That bunch of sissies is out there praising the Lord. They ain't got no fight in them. They're doing what God said, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set. The Lord set ambushments. God did it. The Lord set ambushments against them. You know what he's talking about here, don't you? This was common warfare in the days of Joshua, where they would run up into the town, and then they was just baiting them up, right? And then they would be out there in the ambush. And so when the men of the city, they thought, well, we can whoop these few little hairy-legged fellows. And they chased them out of the town. When they chased them out of the town, those in the ambush would come in and burn the whole town with fire. And so God sent, not Joshua, but God sent ambushments. God sent them. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord's fighting your battles for you, you got a real high percentage of winning. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set the ambushments. And they that were come against Judah, they were smitten. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. What's that mean? God had them fighting against the Sabs. And Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel are still over there singing and praising, having a party. There's got to be a chicken leg in the bunch somewhere if they was a Baptist. And so there got to be some potato salad and a chocolate cake. They are singing and praising God. And the enemy is over there fighting among themselves and whooping one another. Watch now. Everyone help. Verse 23. Everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen on the earth. And how many escaped? None escaped. That's the same God that said, ask and it shall be given unto you. And Peter said it like this, and we're closing down. But Peter said, casting all your care upon him. Why come? For he careth for you. That's the God we want a closer relationship with in 18. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves. I mean, this was better than going to Macy's. Bless God. God has given them their wealth. He did say the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just, didn't he? And the spoils belong to the victor. Remember that. And if we're on God's side, he's always going to win, isn't he? And the spoils belong to the victor. And so they're taking these precious jewels, and the word said more than they could carry away. Somebody said, hey, bring your wheelbar. It's done got out of hand. And bring your little pickup truck. And we got some stuff to load. God has given us. God wants to give us good things, church. He desires to give us good things. He wants to work on our behalf. He longs to do great things for us. Same God. The word said they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Better things. What's God want for us? Better things. More things. Not physical things. We're not worried about that. Spiritual blessings. Closer walk. More of Jesus. All of those songs that point to. What Peter say? Lord, save me. What did the woman say? If thou canst do anything, help me. Well, I don't know if God would hear my prayer. You know, I don't know how to pray complicated prayers. Well, do you know how to ask for help? Help me. Help me. You know what the children do before they can even talk plain? You know, if your tongue was tied and you couldn't say a word, God would hear it, wouldn't he? Because the heart cries for help. Help me. You know, I still have him. He's a cousin of mine. And he had four sisters. And all those sisters, he had a little speech impediment. He does fine now. But he had a speech impediment. And about the time he started to say something, them sisters would butt in and tell mama what he was trying to say. The little fella didn't have time to learn how to talk. He had four sisters doing all his talking for him. But I tell you, we can ask God. And no matter what's going on around us, we can still ask Him. And He still hears. You said, preacher, I don't know eloquent prayers. I don't either. But I know how to ask God, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Those simple prayers God hears. Let's stand together this morning. Brother Ike's going to come and close out as he sees fit.